day. Please be seated. Thank you. It is a happy day, isn't it? It is. Right. As I said, we have a fantastic service this morning with Hattie coming to be baptized as she witnesses God's love and grace through the waters of baptism this morning. And I'd like to share just a few words with you from this passage this morning from Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body. This is the story that starts with a very subdued kind of note. You would have thought this is a story of hope, but when you look at it, really, it's not. Because this woman and the others that went with her, the scripture tells us there was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. They went there and, the tomb was empty, but he wasn't there. He wasn't there. Hope almost lost. Hope gone for them. Hope was disappeared. In the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of their belief and dogma that they had and the understanding of who Jesus was, they thought that he might be still there. They didn't understand that actually Jesus Christ is going to come back from life again. So there was a bit disappointment. There was a fear. Somebody must have taken him away. Must have put him somewhere else. Hope almost diminished, tarnished, broken, destroyed. And then you have this incredible story that Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. It's not only just the women, but also Peter goes and, oops, what happened here? We didn't expect this guy to come out of there. Has somebody stolen him? Have you taken him away? The story of hope is even more hopeless as Peter arrives at the tomb. And then the story that I want to talk to you about this morning, just for 10 minutes or so, carries on in verse 13 of Luke 24. And it says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 11 kilometers, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. This is just a normal life when people are just going about their everyday duty, everyday life. Those are two people, Cleopas, the scripture tells us, and probably his wife, and they were debating, they were arguing. What happened? Where is Jesus? We can't see him. Because later on in verse 21, it says, but we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Again, hope broken, hope destroyed and damaged. Those are two people who go about their lives alongside Peter, alongside Mary, alongside all the other women who have lost hope because this guy is not to be found. And yet he comes alongside them. And I love this passage where it says that as they were walking from that place in Jerusalem, they were going somewhere else, wherever they were going, to Emmaus, that Jesus comes alongside them. And many a times Jesus comes alongside us in the hopeless situations of life that we find ourselves in, in the difficulties and challenges of life, when it's tough, when the diagnosis from the doctor is not good, when betrayal happens, when broken relationships that we struggle with, Jesus comes alongside. When all hope is lost, somehow Jesus comes alongside us. He asked them, what are you discussing? What are you debating together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, called him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? They made him a tourist. They didn't recognize him. And I want to say this with humility in my heart, that sometimes believing in Jesus and not seeing him is not intimacy with Christ. We need to go beyond believing into seeing him. This is what my prayer is this morning, that as Hati comes and shares his testimony, as we praise God here, you transform that belief, because many of you, you will know this book, and those of you who are, some of you who are here, you'll know the Bible better than I do. But we need to take it sometime a step further, that in the midst, in our challenges and difficulties, in our suffering and pain and the troubles that we have, we need to see Jesus and not just hear and know about him. He comes alongside them because we had hope, they said, that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women have seen him, but he wasn't there. He disappeared. Hope was lost. And then he said to them, listen to this. How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that prophets have spoken. Did not Christ have to suffer first all these things and then enter his glory? He had to suffer first and then enter his glory. Exactly in that order. Exactly in that order. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, explain all that stuff to them. Hope in the midst of challenging difficulties and troubles and whatever situation we find ourselves in. And then the story happens and ends like this. When he was at the table with them, right at the table with them, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. And this is what we're going to do this morning towards the end of our service. Then their eyes have been opened. You see, up to that moment, they followed Christ for 3 years, some of them. They saw his miracles. They saw what he did. They heard him preach. They saw him on the cross 3 days earlier, suffering and dying. On that day in the morning, they couldn't find him. Hope was lost. Yet it is in a place like that where he met with them in their own home. He broke bread. And this was more than just knowledge that they have of Christ. They had to see. I can imagine then when Jesus broke bread to them and gave them, they saw the marks of the nails. They saw that this is more than just theory and knowledge from the scripture. That this is the risen Christ, the one who died, suffered, and now is alive forevermore. Their eyes have been opened once they have seen the risen Christ. My prayer this morning is that you will see Christ in your hopeless situation, in your difficulties and challenges of life, as Hati has seen him, and will witness and testify to his love. It seems to me this. Some of the greatest callings to Christ and acts of obedience to him come in the midst of the most difficult and powerful challenges that we face. We'll hear that testimony in a minute, but before that, Hati has chosen a couple of songs, and we're going to sing one of them, The Goodness of God. Really incredible, powerful song. I love you, Lord. This is what Hati will declare, as we declare this morning. Your mercy never failed me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.